Dono on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. When Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
Dom time, and certainly, Dan, tell them where they want to go if you want to get Dom and Tommy John together here.
Yeah, youtube.com/@1210WPHT. Please go like and subscribe to go watch the great Tommy John with Dom, and we're going to merge them together, and here he comes.
Hey, Tommy, welcome to Philadelphia. How often did you beat the Phillies, Tommy?
As often as I could.
Thank you very much. That man should be in the Hall of Fame. So we saw you on this Yankees broadcast the other day, and it brought to light your career. And as much as I follow this stuff, particularly the statistics, I knew just walking around now, which everybody should know, 288 wins, 26 of your games were blown saves. See, right there, that's over the 300 mark. Those relief pitchers should be making the case. And the guy asked you out of nowhere, I guess, why are you not in the Hall of Fame? And were you kidding when you gave us the Trump answer?
You don't know me very well. Almost everything I say is a joke. But I actually can't believe that the people took me seriously. If they think that I'm not in the Hall of Fame because of Donald Trump.
Well,
Trump wasn't even running. For politics back in that day.
Right, so, but it's a veterans committee, though. I worry about them, Tommy. There may not be a lot of Trumpers on the veterans committee.
That's okay. If I get in, I get in. If I don't, I don't.
So, Tommy, are you a Trump supporter, though? Is that how this came up?
Yes, I am.
Why? You're in Florida now, too. So how's the weather, first of all?
Well, yesterday it was very, very windy, very rainy, and it was like all day, blowing crazy. But, Florida is great. We used to live in California. We had an absolutely beautiful home on the 12th hole at the Arnold Palmer course.
Wow.
We were in La Quinta, and the taxes, and we were paying almost as much in state income tax as we were for federal, and I find that reprehensible.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I can see where some of that bent toward Trump might be. Tommy, too, the added thing with you. And I knew you were the name attached, of course. It's famous, although now they're calling it something else. And when you have your name attached to something that significant that has become part of almost every young pitcher, we hear this constantly. You would think that gives...
People are doing it electively now.
Electively. That gives it an added boost. And I got to probe you. I mean, I saw you in the interview and I know you. You're an extremely nice guy. But I am my mold. Usually I do this with politicians, Tommy. Come on now, fess up with Dom. If I were you, I'd be out there campaigning to be in the Hall of Fame every day. I may have to take this on as another cause. It's outrageous. And I had to tell a producer here, yeah, there were some years you pitched 26 years, but longevity counts a lot. Nolan Ryan's about the only one that pitched as a starting pitcher, I think, longer than you. That's incredible.
Yeah, he pitched 1 year longer.
Yeah.
Brick.
Yeah. So, what's your theory why you're not in the Hall of Fame?
I don't know. People, I guess they think that my 288 wins were not as good as Burt Blyleven's 287 or Jim Cott's 286 or 84, whatever it was. But, you got to win ball games. And if you win ball games, you're pretty good. And I won a lot of ball games. Now, the other thing I didn't hear you. I had 188 no decisions.
Okay.
188 games that I pitched that I didn't get a win or a loss. Now you take a percentage of those tacked on to 288, and I'm well over 300. You know, if I get in, I get in. If I don't, then I'll go to my resting place wondering what happened.
People on YouTube are legitimately upset. They're angry that you're not in, Tommy. You should be in. You deserve to be in, and it's upsetting that you aren't.
Yeah, Tommy, let me ask you, is there anybody out there that's making this an issue? And, you know, this happens. I grew up watching Richie Allen, Dick Allen, and I think that guy is a Hall of Famer. He had all the marks. He had the you saw it, and you knew it when he first came up. I don't know if you played against Allen, did you?
Yes, I did. I played minor league ball.
Okay.
And against him.
And
I was traded for him.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, I was traded to the Dodgers for Dick Allen.
Wow. Well,
from the White Sox to the Dodgers. And then Allen went to the White Sox and just tore everything up.
Yeah. So I watched that, and the same thing. He has Hall of Famer all over him, but maybe he doesn't have quite the statistics. You have the statistics. You have it all. Henry, you had a question for Tommy John.
Yeah, hey, Tommy. So comparing you to someone like a Jim Cott or, like you said, a Burt Blyleven, even, what makes you stand out above them? Because I know, you know, Jim Cott was famous for his glove. Burt Blyleven won a few championships.
Curveball.
Yeah, the curveball. What makes you so special? Why? What is your Hall of Fame case besides the total body of work? Do you have something that stands out in your mind that you should be remembered for besides the surgery?
Yeah, I'm a Trump supporter.
you didn't answer me. Well, what is it about Trump? You moved from a nice spot in California to Florida because of the confiscatory taxes. So I get that, but. Why Trump? What is it that you like about Trump?
When I went to the Yankees in 1979, Steinbrenner and Donald Trump were good buddies. And every time we had a Yankee party or whatever, Don and his wife would attend. And I got to know him back in 1979.
Did you think, hey, this guy is going to run for president someday, Tommy?
You kidding me? I thought he'd build some more skyscrapers,
right?
But I didn't think he would run for president. I don't know.
Hey, so I want to talk about the surgery itself, Tommy. Dan here, one of Don's other producers, and just the fact that it was so revolutionary when you decided to do this. It was a Dr. Job, I believe, that you were working with, he proposed this and essentially told you, I think, he had 100-to-1 odds of this being successful. So take me through your mindset of it was so important for you to extend your career, or what made you want to do something like this?
I wanted to play baseball. And the only way that I could play baseball would be to have the surgery. Now, was the surgery a guaranteed success? Absolutely not. But I felt that Dr. Job would not BS me, and he would tell me the facts. And then I got the facts, and I ascertained that my words to him after he got done was, let's do it. But if I'm going to pitch again, and I wanted to pitch again, I've got to have this surgery.
So, being a guy that was so far in the game as you were, did you have anything set up if the surgery went awry? Were you going to be a broadcaster? What did you have planned instead?
No, I they wouldn't let me broadcast because I had a horrible stutter.
Huh.
And but yet I did broadcast. And I did some stuff for the Yankees, and then they brought in Susan Waldman. And I guess my stutter was not as bad as her femininity.
Well, so Tommy, do you have a website, Facebook page? Where can people go to learn a little bit more about Tommy John?
Go to Tommy John. Go to hell.com.
I could see why this all happened, Tommy.
Oh, Tommy, you're great, man.
So
you go to Tommy John 25.net.
Okay, we will do that. Tommy, I hope there gets to be more attention now after what you did there, because it got our attention that people think it's long time to get you into the Hall of Fame. Tommy, thank you. Thanks for joining us in Philadelphia.
You got it. And I just want to say one other thing. In 2025, there's a company out of Minneapolis, Minnesota, that's coming out with a documentary about me.
Ah.
It starts, it follows me through my Terre Haute roots and it, you know, my life in baseball, the surgery, the rehabilitation, and all the stuff that I went through. The documentary is going to be very, very good.
Now, it'll show you basketball at the University of Kentucky. You had a scholarship there, right? What position did you play?
I was a forward, kind of like Larry Bird.
Ooh. Okay.
Oh, man.
I wasn't as good as Bird. But.
Exactly. Well, I think you made the right choice, and the Hall of Fame is next, and your name on a great medical procedure. That's pretty good stuff. Tommy, thank you. Thanks so much for coming on today.
Okay, and send me some cheesesteaks.
All right, we will
do
it.
Tommy.
Thank you very much. Tommy John here on Talk Radio 1210. Henry, nice work. I know you were negotiating with his wife, getting him on and all that. Are you still on the side? It says no. You're a stickler on the Hall of Fame.
I mean, his whole body of work is very impressive. It's hard to keep someone like that out of the Hall of Fame. I will admit
that. I'm in your camp. I'm not letting anybody into the Hall of Fame. There's a lot of guys that go, no, you know, that shouldn't be the case. Mm-hmm. And it's got a broader argument. It's got the argument about you need to have standards, and there's got to be a cutoff and all.
There does.
But guys that just had win two or three wins less than him, they get in, he doesn't. I, you know, don't see much difference
here. Yeah.
Yeah.
I at the end of the day, it comes down to some more accolades, and I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so, but a Trump supporter, but Trump did not keep him out of the Hall of Fame, as far as we know. All right, we were talking about VP Harris at the border today, and the main thing they're going to talk about is fentanyl. The former ICE director, Tom Homan, saying 13,000-plus during this surge have crossed the border that have murder convictions in other countries. Wow. That's just a stunning number. We know this is happening across America. Are Americans going to factor this in addition to inflation? Or is it still going to be, I don't like Trump, I can't vote for Trump? 855-839-1210. Who should head up Trump's security? Let's go to, that's a side question today, Bo in Levittown. Hey, Bo, good afternoon.
Hey, Dom, here's my guy. And you tell me if it's good or not, but I say General Patton. And the reason why is, unlike if they stopped them going to Russia, where the Russians would be speaking English now, he'll just go to Iran. And if they don't put forward who wants to assassinate President Trump, he'll make it the biggest parking lot on the planet.
Yeah, General Patton is, with all the big personalities of World War II, he's still in the top five or six, without a doubt. General Patton, we'll put you down for that. Give us an answer outside the box, since this is such an area of contention. All right, the deportation thing will come up with Harris today. That's going to be Trump's pushback against this, against what she's going to do. Look, you have to say, she's got the playbook with the media help. Actually going to the border, when she, whatever she says, she was in charge, at least on paper, of the border and getting a solution. And she did her job. They didn't want a solution. And the biggest political mistake I've seen recently are Republicans coming up with this bill, knowing that Democrats just wanted to get a bill done so they can say they were serious about the border. That's all that it came down to. But I see the shock waves today. I see the polling, and the media is shocked that about 54 to 56% of Americans say they're in favor of mass deportation. They were not in 2016. Trump talked about the wall then. If you notice, Trump did not talk as much in 2016 about deporting people that were already here. It was about keeping more people out. Well, given what's happened during the Biden years, the point of emphasis with people is now toward, no, we need to also move people out of the country. I think there is pretty widespread support for that. And I think Trump has talked about, we're going to start with the criminals. And we have a pretty good idea who they are. 855-839-1210. All right, Dom Giordano's show. All sorts of statistics out there today that ICE has still 13,000 cross-border with murder convictions, and about 15,000 have been convicted of sex crimes. A lot of it going on. So why Harris going to the border, you might think, tactically, strategically? Of course she is. Because she has the ability to just pretend that none of this happened. She wasn't the border czar. And the media is not going to be that pressing on it. So people not paying attention take a look at this and they say, look, she really cares about fentanyl. And nobody else has done anything about it. So I'm a little unclear. At various times, Trump has talked, DeSantis more, but Trump a bit, about attacking the source of it in Mexico. And that's exactly what we ought to do. So just on the other side of the border, we have people, maybe sometimes in remote areas, but we have the ability to ferret them out, drones and the like, and to take them out. Now, is that a popular position? Yeah, I think it is. I think it shows that we are not going to mess around. You'll have some people say, well, that's a warlike act on Mexico. They can say whatever they want. Mexico is masquerading as a country. It is a source of just all kinds of difficulties for us, including American businesses who get a few feet over the border and are got a workforce that's underpaid versus American workers and then try to send products back here. It goes round and round and round. Every year, it's another issue with Mexico. So it will be interesting to see if the Trump response is more direct on this. This is what we're going to do. Didn't do it in the first term. The emphasis more there was on keeping people out the wall, which you don't hear about as much. It's more now proactive, doing something about it. All right, Dan or Henry, this is cut eight. Here's Jesse Waters yesterday, because this got underplayed, talking about SWAT leaders testified that the feds did not tell them anything about the uptick. Now, Trump should have been getting in Butler the top security just because of the threats that we know of. But what about the Iranian threats? Here's what Waters said.
SWAT leaders said they weren't told about Iran's plot to kill Trump. And if they'd known that, it would have changed everything.
Were you made aware that Iran has ongoing assassination plots against President Trump that are active and ongoing right now as we speak, including to the run-up?
No.
To July 13th?
I am not aware.
Was it ever discussed with you that an Iranian operative has transited Venezuela and was in the United States, according to FBI public notice made in March, recruiting hitmen to kill President Trump?
It was not.
Were you made aware on July 13th or on July 12th that day the FBI had arrested a Pakistani national, Mr. Merchan, with ties to Iran, putting down payments, actual cash, down payments to recruit hitmen?
No.
Were you aware that that same operative were recruiting women as spotters and recruiting protesters as a distraction? A fairly sophisticated plot being run by a foreign state actor intelligence agency?
No. Not aware.
Mr. Sullivan, in your experience, would that change how you operated? Would that heighten your level of coordination, assets?
Absolutely, Mr. Waltz. It would be a tremendous game changer.
The feds were hiding the Iranian threat from Butler authorities and then delegating all of the responsibilities to them.
All right. Here's one point on this. I agree with the sentiment here of what they were doing and how this should ratchet it up. But the protection and the people, do they exist anymore? the people that I want are literally Jack Bauer types. That's why it was my answer on the side question today. I want people who are driven, not on my watch, people that are creative, relentless, and they don't need to hear about Iranian hit squads. But the point is, upon hearing about that, if you did, would that not ratchet this up more? Maybe. The roof was too hot, seems to be what went on here. So is it just Trump? Some of this is because there's an animus here at the upper levels. They're not going to give Trump this top level of security at Butler that day because they're standing on protocol, goofy protocol, not the threat, but who gets it? Only the president or the president's wife, that kind of thing. What the heck? This is broader than just the Secret Service, FBI. It's a downturn in the country where we have people in position that are not driven to be the best and the brightest on this stuff. You see it. You see what we've seen. Some of it's DEI. Some of it is just, and particularly when it comes to Trump, they're thinking, well, if Trump had been shot and the worst happened there, so what? They apparently could live with it. They're going to go home. It wouldn't be, oh my God, you know, my career. How did I let that happen? I don't hear that. Now, the agents that protect it, yes, they did put their life on the line to get in between, etc. But the overall mechanism here, so it's going to be interesting when he goes back to Butler to see exactly what they do. And we'll see if it's at a level. I mean, taking a victory lap for what they did. That's what they did, the Secret Service, at the golf course. That wasn't good at all. The guy was in the weeds there for 12 hours. So are we expecting too much? You know, the argument is, well, Trump shouldn't be golfing. Trump shouldn't be doing these big outdoor events. If he weren't doing those two things, they'd be able to protect them. And then you have to ask, what is wrong with America? That's exactly the challenge they should rise to. And if they need more money, more resources, more whatever, then that's where we ought to be going. All right, let's go to Rick in, I've never heard of this place. What is this?
Orwigsburg?
Orwigsburg.
Orwigsburg.
Orwigsburg. Hey, Rick, where is Orwigsburg?
Yeah. Orwigsburg is, you know where Cabela's is on 22? okay. In between Reading and Pottsville.
Okay. All right. In between Reading and Pottsville. All right.
All right. There we go.
All right. The wilderness.
Orwigsburg.
Orwigsburg. Yes. The wilderness. Yes.
Yeah. Beautiful country.
I've only been to Reading once to give a speech.
We got to do an event now in Orwigsburg now.
Yeah. That's exactly right. We're putting it on the map, Rick.
Trump rally in Orwigsburg.
Yeah. So what do you have today, Rick?
Listen, Dom, I've been listening to you for a long time. I'm originally from Bucks County, born in Kensington. I am in 100% agreement with, I'm a red team captain for Donald Trump for Orwigsburg, which is Harrisburg twice, with Hannity and he. And I'm going out to Butler on the 6th.
Good. That's going to be a great event.
Again.
Yeah.
It's going to be, yeah. Listen, I told the gentleman I spoke with earlier, I was in from 66 to 73. Luckily, I stayed in country. A lot of my friends came back in black bags. They didn't die for this. You know, my grandparents came here in 1914 from Germany, and they came the right way through Ellis Island. That's the way everybody should come. You got to be checked. You got to be physically checked. You got to make sure you're coming here not to sponge off the government and become a cockroach leech. You know, and take away from seniors like me and people that are sick and elderly. And, you know, I got a friend from Venezuela from down the shore where I just left. And he's going to be a citizen next month. And I'm going down to see it.
That's the right way.
The right way.
Exactly.
And this is the greatest country in the history of the world. Oh, go ahead, honey. And there's absolutely no reason why we should lower our standards and bring everybody's trash.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you very much, and thanks for your service. Or Wigsburg. Yeah, I've been to Reading once, and not exactly a picturesque. I was there for Seinfeld, too. Luke got his tickets. All right, they do bring some big acts in.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, so it's 855-839-1210. That's how you get on board. Jump in. Hit us on the side question. As I said today, Trump in Michigan. In addition to that, hope you have a chance to see Inside Story on Sunday. Question came up as we get into the last month or so. The Harris people are spreading their money around to every swing state, maybe slightly more in Georgia and Pennsylvania. The Trump people apparently are taking $78 million and putting it almost exclusively for advertising into Pennsylvania and Georgia. So the point I made is the point I wish the Trump people would get. Yeah, I get a little bit of Georgia, but I'm taking the lion's share. $50, $60 million, I'm plunking it down on the table and going and getting more. Whatever you have to put into Pennsylvania. I don't care if it's a half billion. You win Pennsylvania, and it's going to be over. But the inside polling of various insiders that I talk with, they're thinking we may not know the Pennsylvania results. 48 hours is the over-under. 48 hours. Can you imagine the tension around that? Because I think it's playing out. It's going to come down to that. Imagine from 8 o'clock on election night, 48 hours plus, we're waiting to see what the result is in Pennsylvania. That's unacceptable. But I think that's where we're headed. And again, win Pennsylvania. It's fine to be in Michigan. I'm not counting on Michigan. And I'm telling you honestly, there's not going to be any landslides here by anybody. If Trump wins Michigan that night, I will be surprised. Not so much Wisconsin, but I'd be still surprised. But I do think he's going to win Pennsylvania. And Georgia, with the tightening up of the election laws big time, I think is not a cinch, but coming pretty close to it. If that happens, he's going to be president. If it doesn't, he's not. Pennsylvania, 855-839-1210. All right, jump on board a little bit later. We'll talk with Dave McCormick, who's making a bit of a surge here in the Senate race. But with Harris on the border, McCormick, I've heard him on several shows yesterday, has a real plan to how to go at fentanyl that I think Trump ought to be talking about, including the use of drones. But I think ratchet it up. Are the American people really going to say, yeah, we want kids to continue to die from fentanyl? I don't think Trump ought to bomb drug cartels. Is that really going to happen? I don't think so. They may not want boots on the ground. I get that. But we have the technology that we could cripple this. 855-839-1210. That's how you get in. All right. Crazy time of the year, right? Back to school. Kids in school, activities, football, big now, tailgating parties, all that stuff. It's a great reason to take that stress away and just put it on Captain Chuckie's. Let them be your meal planner. Get the all-new Wild Shrimp Scampi Ravioli. Chuckie's teaming up with Vera Pasta, offering lobster, crab, and now Wild Shrimp Ravioli. Remember, too, order that new Bang Bang Jumbo Lump Crab Cake. I had it this week. Ro wasn't feeling well, so that's what I had for dinner. I'm putting it on the menu at Captain Chuckie's every week now. This is a 5-ounce jumbo lump breaded crab cake with a kick for those who like to spice it up with some heat. But check out the soups. We're going to be getting into that season soon. The desserts, appetizers, sides, they're all there with only the highest quality ingredients. Their Gulf shrimp is a huge hit. It's always wild caught, never farm raised. And my favorite, that Dom roll. You got to have the Dom roll. One website, welovecrabcakes.com. Lovecrabcakes.com. Headed to the shore, Captain Chuckie's at theshore.com. All right, Dom Giordano show. What is our buddy, the head of the Catholic League, up to? Bill Donahue said Thursday that Vice President Kamala Harris is smart to skip the Al Smith dinner in New York, given her record of opposition to everything Catholics believe in. And that is exactly right. She's also ignorant of Catholicism. She's the one that attacked a federal judge, along with a couple of her colleagues, because he was a member of the Knights of Columbus. I guess the Columbus thing set her off there with that. Here is Newt Gingrich. This is cut six, making that same point that the Trump people have to do more. And by the way, an area where Trump is starting to do better that's shocking people in Pennsylvania is Scranton, because it's still heavily Catholic, pro-life. I know. Well, why did they vote for Joe Biden? Well, he's one of their own, you know, the Marquis of Scranton and all that. This is cut six. Here's Gingrich.
The truth is that I think she's afraid to go to the Al Smith dinner. She's the most anti-Catholic presidential candidate since James G. Blaine in 1880. Wow. And all of the anti-Catholic laws passed in that era were called Blaine laws. So you can imagine how strongly he was. Look, when she was a senator, she's interviewing in public in a senatorial hearing nominees who are Catholic, and she says, you know, you belong to the Knights of Columbus. Well, the Knights of Columbus is over 2 million people voluntarily get involved, you know, have pancakes on Saturday morning, raise money for charity. The idea that there was somehow something mysterious about this whole Catholic thing, you could tell that she has an edge. Many people on the left dislike the Catholic Church because it is a bulwark of belief in right to life. It's a bulwark of belief in God, and it's a bulwark of belief that, in fact, our job is to try to understand what God wants us to do, not try to become gods of our own. So there's a huge underlying hostility between the left and organized religion. By the way, her vice presidential candidate as governor closed every single church in Minnesota during COVID, but allowed the Mall of the Americas to stay open so you could have retail therapy.
Right.
Now,
right.
I mean, I don't know how much more anti-religious you could be than Tim Walz.
All right. Just one thing I would add to it, though. Where are the bishops? Where are the cardinals? In an election like this, they could be determinative. I mean, what's their teaching? What do they say the stakes are? What are they saying that people ought to consider if they're a faithful Catholic? You know, I wouldn't want them, and you wouldn't want them to say, oh, you got to vote for X, Y, and Z. But that's a good point by Bill Donahue about Harris. Well, I think it's also, it's not scripted, per se, the Al Smith dinner. She has to interact a little bit and try to be funny, gentle humor. You know how it goes, right? And instead, she's bypassing it. Okay. She sees with this, though. And a lot of it is just anti-religious freedom. All right, 855-839-1210. And in Pennsylvania, that is a critical, critical turnout thing. I don't know, Catholics, what percentage in Pennsylvania? I know nationwide in presidential elections, it's usually 26% or so, 25%, somewhere around there. Pennsylvania might be 30. Are they aware of Harris and this backstory, and the left in general, except for the fact that bishops and cardinals are right there with them pretty much, and they've ceded ground on this. So this isn't Biden who can fake it. I'm saying in his own mind he might be devout, but he flies in the face of what you think are the broad teachings of the Catholic Church, if he can figure them out anymore. All right, Scott in Mount Laurel on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Scott, afternoon.
Hey, Dom, I just was hearing a thing about Iran and the threats. Are the Democrats trying to say that Iran was behind the shooter in Butler? Because that seems preposterous.
No. But what was said during that is, would you not have ratcheted up knowing these threats that were out there? Why was this level of security so low? To your point, even if it were normal security, how are they not able to stop this maniac, Crooks?
Yeah, I mean, they have no argument. I mean, even if they don't have enough security, there's no way they should have let him on the stage. I mean, that's the obvious thing. The other thing with Iran, though, is if I were Trump, I would pivot and say, why do you think Iran wants me dead? Because I squeezed them, because I was doing a good job for America. I was protecting Israel. I was taking out their leaders. As opposed to, obviously, they'd rather have a Harris administration that will not squeeze them and will give them money.
Yeah, exactly. That's the other point he certainly could be making with this. But the solid point he's making, Scott, the other day, I'd make that too, maybe first, is where is Biden on this? Shouldn't Biden be sending a message publicly to Iran? What's going to happen if we have any whiff of this?
That's right. I mean, we should at least be able to unite on that. I mean, there's no reason. But we know why, because it wouldn't play well with his base and, you know, or with the Democrat base. And that's the sad reality of it.
Yeah, we had on last weekend, I taped Kelsey Grammer. He said he had multiple conversations with people in Hollywood that he's still friendly with. And they were unhappy that Trump was not killed.
Yeah. Oh, they've convinced themselves that, you know, it's kind of like the end always justifies the means for them. And they've convinced themselves that the country is, you know, it's all one lie feeds upon the other. You know, they have this false premise that even though he's already been president, that's the amazing thing, that somehow, you know, a Trump presidency would destroy the country. He's been president, and we've seen it didn't destroy the country. And yet they still can convince themselves to believe that and then build all these other fantasies on top of it.
Yeah, if they were making this argument in 2016, it would be preposterous that he's Hitler. But they've had 4 years of him, and none of this happened. Hitler is not letting 4 years go by before he strikes. It doesn't work that way. All right, Scott, who heads up the protective services for Trump?
You got to go with Superman. I mean, the guy could be anywhere. He could catch you out of a falling plane. He could block bullets. He can get people out of the way with his heat vision. He could even reverse time. If the bullet's coming at you, he could reverse time and get you unshot, you know, go back to where it was when you weren't shot. Who could protect you better than Superman?
All right, good one. We should have taken Superman off. Come on now. It's, yeah.
I mean, all the superheroes, really, right?
Yeah, well, why do they even do these films, though? Superman versus Batman and all the other stuff. You only need one person. Yeah. That's why I see. Yeah, I know. But I mean, why? It's got to be a heavy lift as an artist to make a case of all these others versus Superman.
That's fair. That's
yeah,
fair
it's, yeah, it's very... And you're seeing little...
I think Superman's the best superhero you'd want to protect you. You don't want Batman, right?
I love Batman. Mm. Yeah, I love the...
Do you really want Batman, like, protecting you?
No.
Like,
oh, yeah.
You
got to
send him a bat signal every time you want the guy to come help you?
Well, he's more limited than Superman.
Oh, you
but Henry,
so?
Little film, though, you're seeing Megalopolis tonight, right?
I am, yeah. Oh, man.
All right. And Dan made a good point the other day that here, Coppola is making this film, talking about there's Trump people involved or something, and De Niro sees it as a chance to rant and go wild about Trump in the middle of that.
Yeah, why am I not surprised? No, yeah. John Voight's character in this movie is supposed to be loosely based on Trump, and I think that's part of the reason why Voight took the
role. He plays Trump.
It's a loose character.
And is Trump anti-hero, or what is it?
I'm not sure of his role in this movie at all.
Okay.
I have no idea what to expect from this movie, because there's been virtually no marketing for it.
Okay.
It's kind of shrouded in mystery. I mean, all the reviews are either, this is the worst movie of all time, don't see this, or...
Right.
This is peak cinema. You have to see this. Like, I think the Rotten Tomatoes score right now is at 50, and no one's rating it 50. They're either rating it a 0 or 100.
Hmm.
It's very interesting to see how.
All right, now you'll learn over the time of producing day to day with us that one of my challenges is films that I can convince Ro to see also, because like with Dunkirk, she shut her eyes for 3/4 of it. That's what we had to live with.
That's no good.
I mean, yeah.
I do have Coppola trying his hardest, man. They're doing an IMAX Q&A for the movie, trying to promote it. And it's in Toronto. And De Niro's sitting right next to Francis Ford Coppola. Francis Ford Coppola makes a point that he doesn't really care about people's politics. Just listen to De Niro try to make it as hard as he can about politics.
I deliberately got people to make this film who disagree. I mean, there's actors in the movie that are voting another way, and there are people in it who have been canceled which way and when. And And we, in the movie, we all work together happily and creatively. So it shows that, you know, it shows that we're, I didn't want them to say, oh, it's some, you know, woke movie that it all is just a politically. We're above the politics in making of the film, I thought. And yet still we were all liked each other and participated and made this film together. So I'm hopeful that we can work even with people who disagree with us to a higher goal.
Okay, just one final.
Just imagine Donald Trump directing this movie.
Craziness. So that's all. You know. Together because he doesn't care to hold anything together. He wants to destroy the country.
Oh, God.
And he could not do this movie. He couldn't.
How
do
disrespectful is this, man?
Yeah, he is. He's
the military school.
Also, here's one of the biggest big time directors here with this, with De Niro, and he just is crazy. I would argue this. Well, we can ask coming up too. Who's the most crazed in their own way? Is it Stern? I vote for Mark Cuban. Mark Cuban thinks that he should have been president, and a dope like Trump. It's not even the politics. It's a dopery.
Yeah.
He knows what to do. How did a dope like this get to be president?
Cuban's on a heater lately.
Yeah, we have some of that.
That's disappointing.
Yet,
I used to love the guy.
Yet he did not run for president. Look at what you have to go through. He doesn't want to go through that. Okay, you can't be president.
And can I say one thing on that De Niro clip?
Yes.
He said Donald Trump couldn't make a movie like this. Yeah, no duh. He's not a movie director. What are we talking about here?
Yeah. Why are you just shoehorning Trump into this?
Right.
Time?
He just couldn't wait. You can hear him edging forward in his seat.
Coba specifically making the point that it's apolitical.
Yes.
Like he doesn't want it to be some kind of woke movie, and De Niro just has to get in there, man. It's,
exactly.
It's so disrespectful.
Exactly. Yeah, the memo should be don't work with him. I mean, that's what he's going to do. All right, phone lines. Our 855-839-1210. Jump in. Hit us on the side question, too, on Talk Radio 1210.
You have to answer for Santino, Carlo.
Mike, you got it all wrong.
All right, Dom Giordano show. Should be a showdown at the border today. Bill Malugian, who I saw the other day, was voted the most attractive person on all of Fox.
Really?
I think he is. Oh, yes, a guy. I can say that. Absolutely is. It's the hair right away. I see a guy's hair, and it's like, oh, man. Put that hair on top of my head.
Okay, I can see it, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just looked him up, yeah.
He has a new ICE report that reveals the Biden-Harris administration has let in 425,000 illegal immigrants who are convicted criminals. That's enough to fill Michigan's football stadium four times. The following illegals are roaming the country. 13,099 murderers, 15,811 rapists, and 425,431 convicted criminals. Essentially, what that is, it means migrants who are encountered by DHS, but no longer in federal custody. And here's a little bit of Malugi and Henry. You have that one? Telling us what he hopes to ask VP Harris today. Will he get a shot at the border of asking her this question about ICE?
For any reason. And when Kamala Harris visits the border today, if she takes any questions, I'm hoping she does. One of the things I'm hoping to ask her is, back in 2019, she campaigned for president as saying she wants to get rid of all ICE detainers, saying they tear families apart. You know, one of the biggest things we hear from ICE is there's this misconception about them that they're kicking in doors of grandmas and little kids and going after people who are just working and here for a better life. The people they're going after right now are the worst of the worst. We're talking serious felons, murderers, sexual assaulters, rapists, that sort of a thing. And when ICE detainers are not honored and these local jurisdictions just release people back out onto the streets without notifying the feds, it's dangerous for everybody involved. It's dangerous for the local community who might have a sex predator back on their streets. It's dangerous for ICE because instead of having someone just hand it over to the jail to them in a secure environment, now ICE has to use their resources to develop intel and try to find this guy and find out where he's going to be and then use 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 of their officers to go apprehend this guy who could be violent. Maybe they'll fight back. Maybe they won't want to go back into federal custody. So So it's dangerous for everybody involved. In these sanctuary jurisdictions, it's going to come to a point here soon. Donald Trump is vowing to end them. I had a phone call with him the other day. I said, well, how are you going to end them? What are you going to do? And he said, well, if it comes down to it, I'm going to strip federal funding away from sanctuary cities. I said, well, how far are you willing to go with that? Will you pull FEMA disaster money from them? He said, yes, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. We don't know where Kamala Harris stands on sanctuary cities right now. I'd love
All right, so
her.
We got the point from Trump. He's got to drill down on that more, though, going after sanctuary cities. How far are you willing to go? You heard what he said. Even FEMA money. All right, that's serious stuff. Coming out, one of our favorites, Beth Ann Rossica, education expert, but also she's been charting Kamala Harris and the question of female voters. How does Harris measure up on that? And what does Beth Ann think is the counter then that Trump should be making? Dave McCormick at 2:30, and we'll get a winner on the side question for the week here on Talk Radio 1210.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.